The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Harry Findlay is with us. He is, well, probably one of the biggest gamblers who has been known in British life. He's written his book, Gambling for Life. Thank you very much for joining us, Harry.
Pleasure.
How much have you gambled, do you reckon, during your life?
I hate to add it up, really. The turnover would be colossal, really.
I'd heard 20 million quid.
Now, that's what I've won.
That's what you've won?
Yeah, that's what
I've
won.
But have you won more than you gambled, or have you?
That's the profit. I've won. That's my overall. It's a bit over that now, but not a lot more. But that's the profit that I've won.
20 million profit.
Yeah.
So you're a gambling addict.
No, I'm a winner and a spender and a bit of a mixture, really. But I had tough times recently with the track and with what happened with the BHA. But overall, I do manage to show a decent profit on the punt.
Have you put money away, or do you just continuously gamble your winnings?
No, don't forget, I've been betting all my life, so 20 million sounds a lot, but over 30 years, it's a lot less than a million a year.
I think that's an enormous amount of money to most
people. Yeah, it is. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to be flippant about it, but there are gamblers that gamble a lot bigger and win a lot bigger than me, but... We wrote the story, so we had to be exact. So they're the figures. I can't make them up.
Are you the exception or the proves the rule? I mean, the exception to the rule that it is a mug's game, that the bookies always win, and the people who think that they can make a living out of gambling are deluding themselves.
Well, I mean, there's very few who make a living out of gambling, a very, very small percentage, and I'm part of that small percentage. But there's a bigger percentage number who could probably make it pay if they just tweaked things a little bit and did things a little bit differently.
Okay, how come you've been successful? What's your secret?
Maths. Been able to price things up well. I mean, say maths. I mean, someone like Tony Bloom would be a professor of maths, so he'd be a lot better than me. But I don't use maths because I think arithmetic and maths are a separate subject. I mean...
Explain that to me.
Well, I remember when I was... It's in the book, funny enough, when I was at school that we went from... It was all numbers and arithmetic, and then suddenly logarithms and algorithms. And I think that's a separate subject to basic. I think that kids should be the continuous mathematics or arithmetic should be a separate subject, and therefore kids aren't put off numeracy skills by letters and tangents and other things that aren't as relevant in the real life. So I'd say my skills are just basic arithmetic, but overall I've got the advantage of probably watching more live sport than anyone else of my era, and latterly as much on TV as I possibly can. And you know, I've got a lot of advantages in that respect.
Yeah, you say you know how to price it, but how much of that is just gut instinct, or sort of your belief in intuition, or how much of it is based on analysis of data?
Well, I think, in to be honest, when if you're talking about the figure of how much I've won, I was just saying to someone earlier in an interview that the only reason that the figure I've won as much as 20 million profit overall is a lot of it's luck. I got involved with the Asian handicaps with Tony Bloom at the right time and won loads of money on that.
What's the Asian handicaps?
It's where they've started betting on football, but not three results. Paddy Power, Ladbrokes or Corals will bet Chelsea, Liverpool and the draw. Three runners with a 15% built-in margin, approx. But in the Asian handicap, there's only two. It'd be draw, no bet or... Plus, there's only two results, so it's more like a roulette-type situation where you've got red and black and just a very small green for the bookmaker or the book. So much more favourable terms for the punter. And, of course, Tony Bloom got me involved with that right at the start, so we had a big advantage where there was sort of 3 or 4 years on the football where we couldn't really lose to be sort of without being flash about it. We had a bit of a head start and... You know, they were the real good times. So a lot of my money was during that period. And the advent of Betfair was a new thing.
Betting exchange.
Yeah, when that first opened up, that was very easy to win at for a while.
How could it be very easy to win at?
Well, because it was a new game, and everyone, as you know, with the exchange, you can bet or lay, and everyone, because of years or whatever, everyone thinks that laying, that by going on Betfair and laying people, that they were going to win. And the punters got the best of it for quite a while. And that's changed a lot recently. The gambling's become a lot more uniform in the last 10 years and a lot tougher, a lot more syndicate orientated, a lot more computer orientated. So I think everything's very uniform now. I think it is really hard to win now. And
yeah, shall we be sort of, there's a danger that when you start talking about these big wins, you're almost encouraging other people, I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah, I know.
But that's not the case, is it?
No, far from it. Far from it. I mean, I was in the right place at the right time. And if a gambler reads the book, they'll realise how lucky I was with that big scoop six when I, you know, for once in my life, I was unprofessional and overstaked, and it ended up doing me a massive favour. So, as far as the big money goes, in the last sort of 15 years of my life, I'd say that I've had more than my fair share of luck as well.
How emotional do you get about bets, or can you be detached about them? I asked that in the context of one. You know, I think you had nearly £2 million on the All Blacks New Zealand in the 2007 Rugby World Cup, and then they got dumped out in the quarterfinal by France with a really, well, an unusual refereeing performance by Wayne Burns.
Yeah.
Did you manage to keep calm?
Yeah, like we touched on that in the book. The nightmare was my hero Dan Carter getting injured, and then his replacement that came on got injured. So when they were 2 points down for the last 15 minutes, really, the mathematical side of me, the intuitive part of me, was pleading at them to go for the drop goal. But of course, without Dan and without Nick, the replacement, they didn't have anyone who really want to step up and go and try and kick the ball between the posts, which would have given them victory. And they, instead of going for those 3 points in the last 15 minutes, they went for the try and they never got it. And like you say, one of the forward passes was so bad that you could see it from where we were, which was nearly almost behind the goal. But these things happen. And on the night, my major thing was just how many people that I'd tipped up the All Blacks to, and I was more worried about the number of taxi drivers that had 500 on rather than my 2 mil.
Yeah, but when you're in a situation like that, 10 minutes to go, would you not lay off the bet even?
No,
as
I laid off
losses?
Some. No, because it was the kind of money involved with 10 minutes. I did lay a decent bet at half time. I had 2.5 mil on, and I got $600,000 back at half time when All Blacks were winning 11-3, and that was very important that I did, because that was professionally the right thing to do. So that made the pain bearable. But, you know, the New Zealand bet's far too often mentioned and quoted, because at the time I had more than double that, so, you know, it went wrong. But, you know, the there's a lot more in...
Okay, how much stress is involved in being a professional gambler, given the amounts of money that you're putting on the line?
Well, I didn't find it too stressful, Matt, all my life, really, until the problem with the BHA, which you know about, which wasn't asked for, and the repercussions of the dog track. So the last 2.5 years when I've been under real pressure, I have found it very stressful. And but I've managed to win, and I've managed to get myself back in the game. But it was really stressful. There was a time when, after it went wrong at the dog track, when a late goal or something that cost me maybe £1,500 would cause me sleepless nights, you know, which was a bit of a...
Yeah, but the fact that so much of the stuff is out of your control as well. I mean, you know, most people, when they get involved in a business, they have a certain degree of control. Your control is the size of the bet, but after that, you're at the mercy of whatever's going to happen.
Yeah, it's funny you say it. I mean, a lot of what McCoy says in the book, and what a lot of sports people fear that without, but I've never had any real talent, man. I tried so hard to be a footballer from the age of 5 to 15. I just had no pace and no real ability. I did everything else right. I knew how to score. I knew how to do the right things. I trained harder than anyone else, but no real ability and no pace. And I think ever since then, I've always, you know, looked up at any sportsman as the best. I've, you know, I can't make a 16 break myself at snooker, but I've always looked at snooker. I spent nearly 10 years on the snooker tour, just betting on snooker. And I always looked at every frame like Steve Davis would, or I always looked at, played rugby like the All Blacks, but I always looked for a positive winning formula for whatever sport I covered. And I think having no ability myself sort of helped in that way. And I do think I have a winning mentality.
There's so much gambling going on now, particularly with the apps on phones and in-match betting and things that you never would have bet on in the past. Would that worry you that that's going to lead to more addictive behaviour?
Absolutely.
Lots of people losing money they can't
afford
to lose.
Well, it's very interesting. This morning on TVAM, there's a lot of good politicians saying that the fruit machines, or the, not the fruit machines,
the fixed terminals,
have got to come down. Well, they've got two big allies today, because I went on TVAM this morning and said get rid of them. And I've just noticed in the last 2 hours that Brian Corcoran, who you know well in Ireland, who's
the boss of Paddy Power Betfair on the way out. Yes.
Yeah, and he's said the same thing. He has called it toxic. He's exactly today, this very day, he's stepped up, and he said that things have got to change. And I haven't read what he said, but I know it'll be more or less the same things I said on TV AM this morning, that it is toxic and it will. It's not just what they're losing. It's not just the gambling problems that they're causing there. They're taking things away from other environments. It is a very bad situation, but I do believe that common sense will prevail. Even Philip Hammond's had his telling off.
That's the Chancellor of the
Exchequer. Yeah, he was talking about it as if it was nothing. I mean, it's ridiculous. I very rarely go in betting shops now with the advent of RUK and up the races. But when I do, all it is people playing those machines, nothing else.
I have to leave it there. Harry Findlay, thank you very much for joining us. The book is called Gambling for Life.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.